Now I'm going to try to take a few live questions. This is always the fun part for me. I love doing this. And we might go back and grab a few more questions from the ones being asked. But right now, if you have a question, go ahead and this is only going to work if you're dialed in on your phone. It's not going to work if you're listening via the web. If you're dialed in over the phone, go ahead and press star 1, and that will raise your hand. And then I'll be able to call on you. And then when I call, you know, basically I have a button. I'm looking at a web browser, and I can see everyone. And when I select you, then I think what happens is, you know, you'll hear a tone, something come on your phone that says you're unmuted or something like that. I don't know exactly what it'll say, but and then everyone will be able to hear you, and you can ask your question. So I'm going to go ahead and Allison, is this Allison?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Well, I just discovered you about 3 days after I launched a product.
Oh, no.
But it's only been about 2 weeks, and my list, two things happened, is that I created this product. Well, when people come into my list, I always ask them what their top three questions are.
Awesome.
Top three challenges were. So I was able to create this product, but my list has been pretty unresponsive, probably because I really didn't have a clue about how to launch a product. So it's been about 3 weeks, and then I discovered you, and I'm like, oh, it's a little late now. But I haven't had a whole lot of sales, and I guess I'm just wondering, can I relaunch? Can I pull it off the market and relaunch? Like, what would be the best strategy?
Yes, you can relaunch.
Okay.
And typically in this type of instance, I would pull it back off the market.
Okay. The other thing I'll add is that I actually did a viral movie right around the same time and just added about 1,600 people to my list in the last week. So they're brand new.
Nice. That's sweet. So it's like sort of like a Camtasia movie? Like Capture? Or?
No, it was, On Marketing that produced it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard of On Marketing, but it's one of those little viral movies that get passed along really, really fast.
Is that the one by, was it Scott?
Scott Stratton.
Yes, Scott Stratton.
Yeah,
yep.
So he did one for me, and
nice.
I got about 1,600 people in about a week.
Sweet.
So now I'm thinking, how do I pull it back? I mean, I could probably come up with a pretty good story for
yep.
pulling it off, since
yeah,
I just had these 1,600 people join.
Right. Well, it's always best if you have a story, if you have a reason why that you pull it back. You want that story. You don't want it to imply weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it didn't sell as well as we thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I always do my best to be truthful in my advertising, but I think generally there's, you can do this and still be truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's some kind of reason why.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed from the people that were buying it is that they would have benefited from a little bit more basic information, which I can then do in sort of a video series.
Mm-hmm.
So I could pull it back based on that, saying, you know, I'm noticing that people need a little bit more help.
Yep.
Before
yeah,
they actually
perfect.
Buy the product.
Yeah, so that's perfect. I mean, because that makes you look like a hero. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we rolled this thing out. We got some fantastic response. But we realized is that, you know, for lots of people, we needed some more introductory material. It was some of the you know, the stuff is super ninja advanced stuff. But lots of people wanted some more introductory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to, you know, pull this thing down or pull back for a bit. You know, we'll sacrifice some sales right now. But in the end, you know, we're going to be coming back in several weeks, and we just really want to make the product more robust.
Okay.
So in other words, you're saying, I just want to be a hero for you guys.
Yeah.
And so that's always a good story. Can I ask you what your niche is?
So it's small, solo entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
and I teach them a lot of marketing
okay.
and sales strategies, really just to get clients and customers.
Okay. Yeah,
The other question I had was that I also launched a monthly mentoring program with that, so anybody that bought it are in my monthly mentoring right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I discontinue that as well?
I wouldn't there.
Okay.
And what I would do is I try to, you know, turn those people into your sounding board, your advocates.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, make them your advisory panel and
mm-hmm.
get them involved in your relaunch.
Okay.
And, you know, try to create a community there where they feel like, you know, you're really tapping into them
mm-hmm.
and they're really involved. And, I mean, if you want, you can even, you know, sort of turn it into a lesson for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know,
they're,
Often that type of group can be one of your biggest assets going forward.
Okay.
As feedback and as potential, testimonials, case studies.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking too, yeah. My other question was, in pulling it off the market, how long before I put it back on? Because this is all new to me, so is there a sort of a basic time frame?
Yeah, I like at least a month. If you can do that,
mm-hmm.
Minimum of a couple weeks, but I really like to in a month.
Okay.
It's the way I like to go.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. Okay, now I'm going to go to, he's not unmuted yet, but Martin Howey is he has a question. Martin was in my Platinum Coaching Club and paid a fortune to be in that Platinum Coaching Club, but then it's had several spectacular launches, so I can't wait to hear what the question Martin's got. So go ahead, Martin.
Hey, Jeff. Good call. I really am enjoying what you're saying here today. Very good.
Great.
A couple of questions for you, Jeff. I know that you've been, just like some of the other marketers out there, using PowerPoint with nothing but just words on it, a black screen with white writing. What is your feeling about using that versus live video? I use a lot of live video on mine. I don't even use PowerPoint many times. It's just me sitting in front of the camera just talking to them, and what I get out of that is people say, boy, you're just so believable. I could just kind of relate to you instead of going through the line by line on the slides. And I know a lot of guys are using that. Can you just give me your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think both are very good to use in different situations. I think full motion video is wonderful for conveying who you are, and especially different people they have different personas, they have different ways of being. Like I know Martin, you're very sincere. You clearly really like to help people. You're very impressive. So there's no doubt you would do great on video. Some other people might not be as comfortable on video, and that will show. And so, I think it depends on the person, but also it depends on the material. I think it's easy to become boring in full motion video. If it's just a headshot and it's more than a minute or two, I think it's easy to be boring. And it's weird, but I actually think the screen capture video, the PowerPoints, can be a little more interesting or entertaining because they do change, whereas someone's face doesn't. I think as the presentations get lengthier and more complex, then the PowerPoint comes into its own. Now, that being said, I think the golden thing to do is mix them. And this is something that actually Frank Kern started teaching, I think, as part of his mass control course. That wasn't through his mass control course, but he's told me about it. And it's what he likes to use, this bounce method. What he calls the psychic journey. And that's where if you take people through several changes in your video, they bond with you because they feel like they've known you for a longer time. Even if if it's 2 minutes of video, but you take them through several different scenes, like, you're doing an introductory, like maybe you're walking up to your office and the camera's walking up with you and you're saying, hey, I'm going to my office, I got a PowerPoint I want to show you. And then it cuts to showing, you going to sit down at your computer and you go looking at the screen and say, oh, I'm just firing up my computer. I'll get this PowerPoint loaded in a minute. What I'm going to be talking to you about is this and this and this. And then you go to the PowerPoint. So you've taken through maybe a couple scenes. Even better would be like three scenes, like you walking out of your house talking to the camera, you getting in the car talking about what you're going to be talking about, then you're walking into your office, go through several different scenes, and it's this weird – and this is all theory, but I think it works. It's this, as you walk them through these different scenes, it's like you've taken them through this journey, and they feel like they know you better. And I think your influence increases then. And so if you did that and then take them to a PowerPoint, then you've got the bonding from the full motion video, but now the PowerPoint can be very, very effective in conveying a lot of information.
Yeah, that's great information, and I really can relate to what you're saying. I think one of the most powerful videos that you did was just you and Rich behind the scenes at his program down in Delray Beach, where you were back behind, backstage.
Yep.
And it just, Rich kind of got me aside here and wanted to talk to me about what we're doing, or you got Rich aside or something, whatever, however
right.
it turned out. But it was
right.
it was just almost like fly on the wall kind of a video. Back here, it wasn't scripted. It was just the two of us talking. I thought it was very, very powerful.
Yeah, that behind-the-scenes stuff is really, really powerful. And like, that thing was shot. That really was just, hey, we've got a camera here. Let's turn the thing on and see what happens.
Well, you know, we just did here one a while back, and I was down at the Hilton. We just had our mastermind group of consultants in, and I just stopped in the lobby and had somebody just shoot a little video and say, you know, I just got out of this meeting. We just had these people here making $350,000 apiece, you know, and this is the top of our group here, and let me just tell you about what we learned, and here's what you can learn as well. And I went through that thing, and it was about three or four or five minutes, I guess, and it was really powerful. It really pulled a lot of response for us.
Yeah.
So just kind of stop right here in the when you're in a hotel, or even just go to a hotel and shoot it, you know.
Yep.
Shoot it out by the pool at the hotel or something, and so I really appreciate that. The other question I had for you is, are you going to be discussing? We do this a lot in our business. Are you going to be discussing offline list building?
I'll touch on that briefly, but to tell you the truth, you know, it's more your expertise than mine. I'm not really expert at that. I haven't done that much offline publishing or offline list building.
Okay.
So, you know, I know you've been very successful doing, like, magazine advertising and buying lists and then driving them to an email list. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. That's how we build our business.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, in fact, I'm not sure if we've published the case study with you yet. If we haven't, it's coming up in probably the next module. But for the people listening, Martin sells very high-end business coaches, teaching people to become consultants, basically. And so he's done multi-million-dollar launches, and he's done that starting with no list and a small budget by doing direct mail to put people, you know, either buying lists and doing direct mail where he's sending out letters, or advertising in magazines like, you know, Entrepreneur and similar magazines, and driving people onto an email list and then doing a launch. And so he started with no list and he spent, you know, like low five figures, built a list to do, you know, seven-figure launches. And it's been a very, very effective model for Martin, and shocking of how the results have just been shocking.
Well, we've been real pleased with it. It's it's been very exciting for us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. I really appreciate your help on those two subjects. And, again, great call. It's excellent information, and I hope everybody appreciates what you're giving them here.
Oh, you're welcome, Martin. And so, like I said, I can't remember if we released I have a case study. I think it's probably about a 40-minute case study, and it with Martin, talk about how he did the stuff he's done. And if I didn't release it last week, I'll be releasing it in this coming module. Okay, next question from Robert. Robert, you there?
Yeah, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, technical question regarding Infusionsoft. If you could tell me how that might compare to an AWeber, then all the other modules that you would need versus Infusionsoft that has it all wrapped in one.
Yeah. Now, Infusionsoft, I haven't gotten into the guts of that system. You know, I've had some clients that used it. Infusionsoft is basically shopping cart and affiliate tracking and email. You know, email list hosting. AWeber does, or Profollow. If I ever forget to say Profollow when I say AWeber, just think Profollow, because they're the one I want you to go to if they're mine. But in all seriousness, I'm not going to tell you to, just in general, I'm only going to send you the things that I think are really good. And I am a huge fan of AWeber and my private label, Profollow.com. So in any case, Profollow /AWeber is only going to do email for you and nothing else. They won't give you the affiliate tracking. They won't give you the shopping cart, anything like that. They do one thing, and that's email list hosting, and they'll do autoresponders and broadcasts, and they'll do a really, really good job with that. Infusionsoft is sort of this more equivalent to one shopping cart, where they give the shopping cart, the affiliate tracking, and the email list delivering stuff. Now, I would say the same thing. I personally, in my experience, and this can vary because Infusionsoft is a big program and you can be on all kinds of different servers and set up all different kinds of ways. But in my personal experience, AWeber gives you better delivery than Infusionsoft or one shopping cart. And so, you know, even if I was using Infusionsoft, I would consider using AWeber or Profollow as my email list host and integrating that into Infusionsoft. So there you go. That's my answer. Infusionsoft really is more an equivalent to a one shopping cart type of deal.
Okay, I thought there might be some benefits of combining the CRM in one package, but I guess your conclusion.
Yeah, I think there are benefits. I mean, I know I have friends that use Infusionsoft, and there are definitely benefits to having it all tied in one thing. And I think those benefits are greater in Infusionsoft than they are in one shopping cart, because you can, in Infusionsoft, you can really vary. You can say, okay, the people that bought this product get this follow-up, and the ones that did this, and the ones that haven't opened my email in 2 weeks get this and that. And I'm splitting hairs here, but in my experience with Infusionsoft, the benefits of using their integrated email is probably greater than the benefits in one shopping cart of using their integrated email. But I know in the launches that I've run with Infusionsoft, and it's been a while. It's been a year since I've done anything. We had trouble getting email delivered. And, I have to try to be careful with what I say, because what I say tends to be pretty influential, and I don't want too many people getting too mad at me, but I really want my people to have success. And I've had some problems with Infusionsoft in the past. It's been a while. It's been at least a year, maybe 18 months. And the whole thing with Infusionsoft is, you know, it's such a complex program. The follow-on support is the most important. And so who you got supporting you at Infusionsoft, your tech, you know, the person doing it is really important. And getting on the right server there and getting the right whitelisting is important. And there's a lot goes into making that system work for you. Whereas AWeber, you just sign up and that thing works out the door. But it doesn't have all the super fancy stuff following on. If that wasn't as direct an answer as you would like, I apologize. But
no, that was great.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Really glad I could help you, Robert.
Hey, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yes, just a quick note. The interview and the transcript for the interview with Martin Howie, both of those are on the module, on the index page, in the front page of the PLF site.
Okay. So I encourage you guys to go listen to that, listen and or read the case study with Martin Howie. It was a good one. And that one is, you know, it's not like on the module one page, but if you just go to the PLF site and scroll down, you're going to see all those tons of bonuses, and that list of bonuses is going to get significantly longer as we go through this program. We're just starting. You guys get so much coming, you're not going to believe it. But in any case, if you just scroll down there, you'll see the interview or the case study with Martin. It was really good stuff. Okay, we're going to go to we've got a celebrity here calling in, Ray Edwards. Hey, Ray, go ahead.
Maybe the first time I've been called a celebrity. That's awesome. Hey, just a fantastic job today, and I just want to say this is my third time going through the PLF material. I was an original PLF buyer, and, you know, PLF 2, and now this version, and I think I appreciate the depth of the material every time I go through it, and I realize, boy, there's a lot more here than I thought I saw the first time. So Nice job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So here's my question. I've got a more complex model for my business in 2009 than I've ever had before. And I'm focusing on copywriting, which, of course, is the thing that I'm best known for. But I've got a book coming out in 2009 that I'm publishing through Morgan James Publishing. And we're planning on mounting a pretty big campaign to sell a lot of copies of the book. But, of course, the goal is that the book is a lead generator, not that I'm going to get rich selling a $20 book.
Right.
So my question, I've been sort of just mapping this out on Mind Manager and realizing that I'm kind of confused now. It's like, boy, there's a lot of parts here because I've got a book, I've got a newsletter, I've got a small ticket item for $97 that we're selling. I've got an online larger ticket item that you helped me launch, by the way, with my first really big successful launch. So thank you for that. I've got a small continuity program that's already going on, but it'll all tie together with the book. And then we've got larger workshops that are going to be $3,500 a piece. And then private coaching. So we've got this whole, all this stuff, and I'm beginning to wonder, should I focus a launch solely on the book first to bring as many people into the funnel as possible, or should I look at really splitting these different things out and doing separate launches for each one, or how would you start, how would you step back and take a look at, I'm sure you're familiar with businesses that are structured in a similar way, or have similar components. How would you approach that?
Well, is the book about copywriting?
Yes.
Okay, book's about copywriting. Now, not all your coaching is about copywriting, though.
No, no. And just to flesh this out just a bit more, I don't want this to turn into story hour, but the book is actually, it's a small book, like 130 pages or so, and it's how to write a sales letter quickly, and it's targeted toward people who need a sales letter but, A, don't know how to write one, B, don't want to really learn about copywriting, and C, can't afford to hire a copywriter. You can imagine I run into a lot of those people.
Right. I bet you a lot of them are on this call.
Well, so what I've not been able to do, I've been having to recommend other people's books to them, and one day it's like the light came on and I realized, what the heck are you doing? Mm-hmm. You need your own book. And it's a perfect way to lead people into the knowledge and the desire that, well, gosh, maybe this really is worth my learning. And so I just did a workshop, a small workshop that was that $3,500 workshop that I was talking about, and it was smashing success. And that's when I realized the one needs to lead to the other.
Right. Well, I mean, clearly the book's going to be, you know, your list builder, your front end. It's your path into, you know, people that haven't heard of you so far, but it's
right.
Clearly a different type of launch. You know, you're going to, you know, a book launch is just a little different than your typical, you know, PLF launch. I mean, I know the type of launch you're going to do. You're going to try to get to the top of Amazon and, or at least, you know, top of Amazon in the business books or whatever. And,
right.
And so you're going to do the full out, you know, bunch of bonuses and everything. I mean, we haven't talked about this, but I just know that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, you're right.
So that, to me, you know, I think you got to do that for the book. Otherwise, it's sort of, you know, just putting a book out there is just a waste of time because it's not going to sell unless it's supported by a marketing platform. And I think that launch is clearly the best, and you've got the connections to pull it off. So I think you got to do that. But, I mean, that's really a something apart from your other business. I mean, that's bringing in fresh, it's a lead gen. You know, or for the people that don't know the lingo, that's a lead generator. It's a list builder. And so you got to do something about, you know, you got to do the launch for that. But that really is set apart from the rest of your business because, you know, your other things are going to be launched to your list. And so this is what I think you should do. You should launch for the book, but then you got to think about you've got X number of bullets in your gun, and the number is not big. And you say, where in my business do I use those bullets up? If you got like if you're going into the year and you got 8 things you can launch, the reality is you're not going to pull off 8 launches. And so you need to think about where do I spend those bullets. And then beyond that, you know, Ray is he's fundamentally in this teaching people how to make money online or make more money online. That's the business that Ray's in. That and copywriting, but it's really the same type of market. So you got to Ray. The thing you need to think about is, as you know, getting joint venture partners to support you is difficult in this market because there's so many products being launched all the time. And for everyone listening, I'm, you know, letting you in, you know, some of the insider stuff on this internet marketing stuff. If you're selling internet marketing stuff, or you just wonder about internet marketing stuff, the reality is it's hard to get a lot of joint venture support unless, well, it's just, leave it that way. It's just hard no matter who you are. And so, Ray, you know, the odds of you really, you know, you might be able to pull big JV support for one launch, maybe two launches this year in 09. You're not going to get more than that, I don't think.
Right, right.
And so, okay, so you got one or two JV bullets. So you got to figure out, where do I drop those? What product is that most effective for, and where and when in the schedule am I going to drop that one or possibly two launches? Then, you know, you got to look at the other ones are going to be internal launches, and where do they fit in your schedule? How can you fit those things in, and where are they going to be most effective? You're going to get another, if you do one, say, one huge JV launch, go for one big JV launch and one smaller JV launch next year, then maybe two internal launches. And the reality is it's going to be tougher to pull off more than that, especially if you're throwing in that book launch. And so it's like it's a matter of, you know, conserving both your time, your energy, but also, you know, where is it going to be most effective, and, you know, which products need it and which products can just sort of survive on the momentum you build from those other launches. And that's the way, you know, I plan out my calendar each year. I'm like, okay, you know, frankly, for me, it's like summer. Summer means that my kids are out of school and I want to play with my kids. It's a great, actually, I think summer is a great time to do a launch these days in the internet marketing space because the other seasons are so crowded. But I'm not going to do one in the summer because I want to play with my kids during the summer. So that means I got to do one in the spring. And you know what? Spring skiing is really good, so I'm probably going to do one in April. I make it fit my schedule, and then I know that I can flex my muscles and do it whenever I want to do it because of my position in the market. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it. It's like, well, what do I want my life to look like next year, and then back it out from there and say, okay, well, if I'm going to do a big one in April, what fits in April? You know, I got eight different projects I do. What fits there? What's going to work best there in terms of the bang for the buck? Because I'm not going to do eight launches next year. And I think you're at the point where you need to do the same thing. You sort of got to knock that, you know, put that book in the schedule, figure out where that book fits in the schedule, and then from there figure out where your JV launch is going to fit in the schedule, and then figure out where you might put maybe a couple internal launches. And so that's sort of the way I do it. I go backwards and figure out, start with where do I want my life to be, and back out from there.
Dude, that was exactly the kind of clarity I was looking for. That makes total sense. Because, I mean, you're right. I was realizing that, well, there's all these pieces, and I've got to be careful because I'm only going to get so many. As you put it, I love your analogy, I've only got so many bullets to spend.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much, and I'm really looking forward to going through PLF again and with all the new enhancements and everything. So.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Good talking to you, Ray.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, going to take another one here. I love it when I can call people by their name. This thing picks up their caller ID, so I can actually call them by the name, but a few of these, we don't have a name. So let's go with this one is U.S. Cellular. Hello, who am I speaking to? Hello?
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead. This is Jeff. Who am I speaking to?
This is Jeff from Milwaukee.
Okay.
I'm kind of, give me a moment to catch my breath here.
No worries.
I just seen you on 2007 Figure and in the country club group up on the stage. I just actually watched that video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a newbie, and the point is am I jumping too big? And maybe this does help other people that are kind of deciding where they're going to go. I want to do a, and you might have answered my question, maybe just start out with a blog, do articles. This is the gardening tree work niche. And I wanted to go with an e-commerce store, with reviews of the tools and things that I sell, where I could put those on Squidoo and all of that. Now, if I did a blog and decided to just go with my two opt-ins, write articles of interest and have the opt-ins, and using the PLF formula, do kind of a, you know, first survey, ask for gardening questions so that it gives me some of the things that they might want to know, and then have an autoresponder series that leads towards a sales letter for an ebook for now, and then maybe build a bigger product line and that for spring. Does that sound? What I'm kind of concerned about is I build up this, you know, I want to know, actually this is what I need to know. You throw up a full bore website with articles, deep pages, and with your opt-in landing pages on that site. You have a blog, you have an e-commerce store, and it is kind of a funny niche where there's a lot of free information for people. Am I maybe trying to do too much at once?
So the e-commerce store, would that be selling, like, goods, you know, seeds and shovels and stuff like that?
Yeah. I've got 29 years in the business, and I'm a lot of knowledge, a lot of knowledge. That's what the e-book is about, mm-hmm. safety and things that the average homeowner can get that they can't get at Home Depot. And then that way they might, I'm very sorry, I might have to silence my son.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Should I go with just maybe a blog just to
yep.
test the waters?
Yeah, go with a blog, because this is why I tell people do a blog, is because it's easy. I mean, someone could have a blog set up by the time we get off the end of get off this call, the blog could be set up. If you go to WordPress.com and have it hosted there. So the deal with the blog is you can always abandon it. You can put up a blog and you can put up a few entries, and if it's not getting any traction, or even if it is getting traction, you can just stop doing it. And that doesn't have to be the be-all and end-all. The one thing I want to communicate is that, to, you know, Jeff, both for your question but for everyone, is that it's baby steps. If you're just starting out, it's all about baby steps and building momentum. I mean, if you just get a blog up and you start putting up a few articles, and I don't actually like that term articles, because it implies something impersonal. You always want to be writing in a personal tone and writing from your experience. And so if you just get it up there and start publishing, there's just incredible energy in getting started and getting something done. I mean, when I hear e-commerce site, that it scares the living daylights out of me. I would be terrified to put up an e-commerce site myself after 12 years of experience, because to me it sounds big and heavy and thousands of pages and all that stuff. And so
okay.
I would,
well, you know, then because that was kind of my back end, you know. I mean,
well, no, and that's great to do eventually, but just get something out there right now, because you'll get some skin in the game. And so that's why, you know, there's no reason people shouldn't, no matter what, just get started throwing up a blog and just get something out there.
Now, if I have the blog, and rather than a full-blown web page with my articles, with, you know, a regular web page, I mean, a blog is basically a web page.
Right.
Now, that, even with just a blog, I can, you know, if I do expand, I can use the domain name, just, you know, now it is the regular domain name with a /blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I can drive from Squidoo, Dig,
right,
you know, and all the other how-tos, the video sites and all of that, because I feel that, you know, I've got a lot of information and that I can, you know, go to the social media sites, and that can all be driven to a blog and the comments and everything else from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know I'm answering my own questions, but
yep.
Yeah, it's, for me, it's, you know, I'm trying to get this together, and I think you kind of answered my question. Just go with the blog at first.
Yep.
Try to monetize that. Have the ebook. Now, the opt-ins, and I want to do, you know, the questions and get back to people, find out how many, you know, if there's questions that come up on all of my opt-ins. I have two different opt-ins. Those opt-in boxes actually can go right on the blog.
Absolutely.
And then lead to landing pages. Now, those landing pages have to have their own hosting company.
Well, the landing pages, you're generally going to put on your domain. You know.
So actually, I would set up a domain web page with the blog, but more, you know, the articles that I put on the blog, I'd actually make a page or...
Well, those just go right in on the blog as blog entries.
Okay.
So you really don't need landing page. I mean, if you're doing hub pages and Squidoo pages and that type of thing, you can send them straight to the blog. So you don't really need landing pages. I mean, the thing, you're probably going to need a page that after people opt in, a thank you page that tells them to go confirm or tells them that you know, they've been added to the list. But that's just real, you know, the most basic page you could ever imagine.
Now, does that have to be on a hosting company?
Well, that'll be right on your – so, like, say, you know, your website's Easy Gardening, you know, and so your you know, easygardening.com/blog is your blog. And then, you know, the thank you page would be, you know, just you set that, like, in Profollow, this is the thank you page. It's just a variable.
Oh, right. It is part of the autoresponder series, like double confirmation.
And so after they fill in the form, it would send them to, you know, for example, easygardening.com/thanks.html. And so, you know, it's you put up a little thank you page that says, thanks for your subscription. Be sure to go, go check your inbox now and click on the link to confirm your subscription so I can send you all your goodies.
Right, and then at that point you obviously run the question, you know, please answer this survey, and as a thank you for confirming, I'd like, you know, to answer one of your questions, and that would
right.
be part of the survey,
yep.
One of your gardening questions. And I'm sorry, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to work with a newbie. Really feel.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you should do, Jeff, is go join my autoresponder at 6in7.com, SIXINSEVEN.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just watch how I, and it doesn't sell anything. It's actually this autoresponder I set up like 5 years ago just to start building a list in the internet marketing space. And just watch how, like, my first few emails, I mean, literally it doesn't sell anything at all. It just goes about 8 or 9 emails and then ends. But just watch the tone of my first 3 or 4 emails and watch how I ask people for questions and survey for questions there. And it's a real good model to follow.
Okay. And once again, Jeff, thank you very much for taking
Oh, you're welcome. Call. You're welcome. Yeah, just put up a blog, get started. It's always best to get started.
Oh, and real quick, when I do the opt-ins, this is part of the PLF formula. Instead of I'm doing the survey in that, if I do have the autoresponder series, would I be able to slowly work up to trying to go to the sales letter for the ebook?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then just do a rolling autoresponder series for everybody that comes in on the opt-ins.
Exactly. Yep.
And then when I get another product, then maybe do your traditional actual, you know, shot over their bow and all of that.
Yep.
You know, what you do with the next product.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. Okay. We're going to take a couple more questions here. We're at about 90 minutes. We're going to take probably 2 more questions here. Brandon?
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's good.
Appreciate for letting me jump on the call here. And all the information we've got so far is great. I've really been taking it all in. So.
Excellent.
Appreciate that.
Excellent.
I guess my question is my market, I'm actually a web developer, and we develop like plugins, custom plugins and themes for WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I guess our market is mostly other developers, and so we're we started up a blog and started putting stuff out there, more of like a tips and tricks type thing. And I guess how do we reach the web developer market? Because like they seem, I feel like that market is a lot more jaded when it comes to salesy type things,
mm-hmm.
Than, you know, say information marketing or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, I'd probably agree with you. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, but so what you're going to have to do, I think, is make it feel more informational and,
right.
And you know, more, you know, and I think, I bet you those people have less time than your average person. And, you know, we know your average person doesn't have much time to begin with, and they probably, those developers probably have less time and feel like they've got less time. So I think you got to be informational, but the information is probably going to have to be short and punchy. And I think screen capture video is a natural. I bet you that's not used all that often. So if you did, like, screen capture, or if you wanted to get fancy, the full motion where you're introducing it in, you know, for the first 10 seconds or whatever, and then go into, you know, screen capture and just showing them some tips and tricks about what, you know, about how to use WordPress. Or not, obviously, they know how to use it. But some of your expertise, displaying some of your expertise and giving them some real insider stuff, making it punchy, making it hopefully 2 or 3 minutes total, and, you know, and develop a rapport and relationship that way, and then roll out something. I mean, that'd be the
yeah.
way, you know, that I think that'd be the way to go.
Yeah, I think, I mean, what we've been doing at this point is basically releasing a bunch of code samples and things like that, you know, based on projects that we've worked on where we've had to spend hours and hours trying to hunt down custom functionality and things like that, and really putting it out there. And we're starting to use, we actually started to use ScreenFlow for some
yep.
screencasts.
Yep.
And that's actually really awesome application if any of you guys are on Mac. It's still pretty early in development, but it's got a lot of flexibility and stuff.
Yeah, their 1.1 version was a lot more stable than their 1.0. I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I feel like we're at this point we're solely informational. I mean, we're just trying to gather a following, and it's just like I'm trying to figure out. I guess it's easy to like figure out what plugins people want because, you know, people are always looking for different types of things, but it's hard, I guess, with that market because everybody's so used to having free plugins.
Right.
It's hard to have a paid plugin model, and so I'm
yeah.
trying to figure out how that would actually work.
Well, I mean, I agree. It's going to be tough, and you're going to have to create, you know, obviously, though, if you have one that's really oriented towards business people, you know, business people are going to pay. And, you know, serious business people would rather pay for a plugin than use a free plugin because they know that, you know, a paid one comes with support. You know, there's no incentive for people to support a free plugin. So, you know, I think, you know, your selection of what plugins to build and who to build them for is probably your most important decision. And so then if you build the following via the, you know, what you're doing already with screen caps, screen cap video, and teaching, and you can build up a following there, and then you can figure out what that, you know, hopefully you're building a list from that following, and then you can figure out, you know, use that to figure out what product to create, and it's all going to be about product selection for you. And actually, it is for everyone, to tell you the truth. You know, I mean, I'm selling information, you know, there's a lot of information out there for free, but I'm able to sell it because I'm able to figure out what people want. And that's what you're going to have to do. And then once you do that.
Sorry, go ahead.
And then, you know, once you do that, then it's the typical launch. You're probably going to have to be a little more low-key than if you were selling, you know, something that is, you know, how to make money online or something like that. You know, it's going to have to be more like the acupuncturist guy. But, you know, it is a very effective sales model as long as you enter that conversation and conduct that conversation the way your market wants that conversation conducted.
Do you think it's an effective strategy to have, like, I know, like, the app store for iPhone and stuff like that have, you see a lot of, like, free light versions of applications and stuff like that versus paid versions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's, like, something to, like, kind of draw people into the functionality you know, offer them a light version for free for, you know, for their email address or something like that to start building our list, and then, you know, offer, you know, over time offer them a paid version of whatever, you know, they downloaded or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's super effective. I mean, you see that with, I mean, you know, you're in the software business and you see that all kinds of software where they do that. And it's, I think it's a super effective model. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for me. That's, you know, again, I really appreciate you taking the time, and
yeah,
and I'm definitely looking forward to the rest of the modules.
Cool. And Brandon, you know, I, if you want to drop me a line, just send me an email. I'm always looking for WordPress stuff. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure what you're doing, but, you know, we might be able to use your services. So
I'm sure we can make that work out.
Cool. Cool. Excellent. Okay. Well,
thanks
for
a lot.
Okay. We're going to take one more question here. We've got an Arizona number, 602 number.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? This is Greg.
Hey, Greg.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I had a couple real quick questions here. I was planning on a launch in December, and I was wondering about if you had any warnings about launching a product during the holiday season.
What's your niche?
Network marketers, MLM, home business training,
okay.
Sales and marketing training.
Okay. Certainly, as you get into late December, it gets a little, I mean, we just know people are busier.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's got to be super compelling. That being said, I do know of good launches that, you know, I know one that happened in, you know, an internet marketing launch that happened, it started on December 23rd, and it was really good. So it's possible to do it, but frankly, if I was going to do it, I'd try to get it launched, you know, by before the 15th, certainly, by somewhere in the 10th or 12th at the latest.
Okay.
Now, that being said, you know, you are in the business of, you know, creating. I mean, January is a very good month for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Anything that, you know, people are looking to change their lives. They're looking at their lives and they're looking to change their lives in January. And so, like, weight loss, relationship, anything about making more money or making a new income or anything like that, January tends to be a good month. So, you know, starting a launch, like in the middle of December, and then going live in early January is something that I like to do.
Okay.
So I'd say either launch it like by the 10th or 12th, or else aim at launching it like the, you know, the not the first business day of the year. I don't know. Let me pull up the calendar real quick and look what we're looking at for when. So let's see. In December.
We've done things in the past just watching our product cycle. I've been in the industry for 4 years, and
mm-hmm.
I found that it's usually after the second week in January that things start to pick back up again, just in lead generation and
right.
purchases and products and whatnot. So I planned on, if I did it in January, it would be about the second week.
Yes. Yeah. So we're looking at, like, the first is a Thursday, the fifth is a Monday. So, yeah, that week of the 12th through 16th, you know, or somewhere in that 7th, 8th, 9th, say between the 8th and the 12th in January might be a good time for you.
Okay.
Or now, since I got the calendar out, let's take a look at December. And this goes for a lot of markets. I mean, so we're looking at the 15th being a Monday. I think that 15th through the 19th week would probably work for a launch, but I'd probably feel more comfortable going that week of the 9th through the 11th.
Okay.
You know, if people, you know, for you, but also if people are listening, I think you could pull it off the 16th through 18th, but you're sort of swimming against the tide, and you'd better have some momentum built in your business already if you're
going
to do something like that.
Another quick question about JVs. I'd planned on doing this to my internal list where
yep.
I had about 20,000 names on my database. I'd sent an email in this about already, but it wasn't getting called on, so I figured I'd be proactive.
Okay.
So I was wondering about, I have a couple of smaller JV partners that I'm planning on letting them know about. They've not done other product launches before. They pretty much look to me as the leader to do these things. Anyways, I'm looking to move 100 units at a $500 price point. Is that realistic with the 20,000 list, or what's your experience with that?
I think so. 100 units of, yeah. I mean, it all depends on your list and
right.
how strong your list is, but I know, you know, when I had a, you know, so like in that trading stuff, in the trading market where I had a fairly strong list. I mean, the first time I did my six figures in 7 days, we did, you know, about, we did 200 plus units, you know, 230 units to a list of 5,000 people at $500. So, you know, that was, you know, so you're looking at doing about half of that to a list that's four times that size.
Okay.
Of course, you know, it's different market, different list, you know, different time, everything's different. So it's hard to draw a direct parallel, but I guess what I would say is it's certainly within the realm of possibility to do that. Absolutely.
Okay. Looking to have a good Christmas.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, I'm going to wrap that up before my voice completely goes on me. So that's the end of our first call. I'm going to all our second call scheduled, and I'll get that out to you soon. Also try to answer some questions in other ways, maybe via email or some more audio as we go forward. So thanks a lot. We're going to be releasing Module 2 in just a few days. Keep on sending in your questions, especially via the survey. Fill out that hot seat survey and go get them. And we'll be in touch soon. Bye-bye.